Would be called Calvary. Then he made the seed that would grow to be thorns that would make you so bleed. Then he made the dreadful test. David leaves a bed, David sunshine and rain and sheltered in the waters. Oh, he grew the tree that he would be used to make the old world.
Amen.
And I feed to his life with love he gave. He was crucified on a tree that he created with my God. God stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that he might go free. With tears in times, God looked down through eternity, saw his battlefield rejected and marked. Still he grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rock give it cross. Oh, nothing took his life, with love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created with great love. Oh, God stayed with his plan. He grew a tree so that he might go free. Oh, still he grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old world
Genesis. We started last May, and we're in chapter 45 this morning. And I do know it's Easter, so we're going to pull the Easter story out of Genesis 45 today. Thank you, Reuben, Mary Dale, our praise team. And thank you for being here. If you're visiting today, we count it a great honor for you to be visiting with us today. We trust the Lord to speak to your hearts. I can only speak to the human ears of you. He Holy Spirit can speak to hearts. We pray that he will use us to speak to and sing to your human ears as God, Holy Spirit, speaks to our hearts. Let's pray and we'll get started in Genesis chapter 45. Heavenly Father, we are so unbelievably grateful for the cross. We thank you, Father, for that the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the world. That's deep theology, Lord, and we're grateful on this day, this Easter Sunday, on this last day of March 31st,
this year of 2024, Lord, we can gather and we can assemble here this morning in the local New Testament church. We can sing about the cross. We can sing about the resurrection. Father, we can have hope in our great faith of what Scripture says about that day and about those events. So, Father, we pray now as we come for this congregation and before you, Lord, that you would just use me and, Lord, bless. And we pray that all that's said and all that's done today would please you and honor you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Genesis chapter 45, if you would, please look at verses 1 through 4. The book of Genesis, chapter 45, 1 through 4. And we're talking about Joseph and his brothers here. Verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of his brothers that stood with him. And he cried, caused every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. For those that don't know the story, Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery when Joseph was 17 years old. And a lot of things have happened between that day when they sold him and said goodbye, and now as they stand before him. And so that's where we are here in Genesis chapter 45. And so he can't hold back. He loves his brothers after all the cruelty, meanness, evil they had put upon Joseph. But on this day, 20 plus years later, as they stand before him, they don't know him, but he knows them. And so he can't hold it in. He's filled with emotion and with passion about the love he has for his brothers and how they ended up here. The Bible says there in verse 1 that Joseph made himself known unto his brothers, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold in Egypt. This morning we have one of the most dramatic moments in all of Scripture. The moment of truth. Tense, filled, teaching story. The school of grace. How Joseph handled mistreatment, hate, and evil that had happened to him. And we will see grace at its best for a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph and his brothers here in chapter 45 have been reunited. They're fixing to reconcile their relationship. After 22 years of being apart, after 22 years of being separated, and Scripture tells us that he had a hard time with it, that Joseph has to excuse himself or get everybody out of the room so he could have his moment. He went to his private chambers and alone, him and God, as he remembered and as he reviewed the years that had been lost between him and his sibling brothers. All those years, all the loneliness, all the loss, all the celebrations that were missed, all the time not knowing his family and their families. Joseph sobs and it goes into heaves and weeps aloud. Unashamedly, the Egyptians and the Pharaoh himself heard Joseph crying uncontrollably. It's like a moment when time stopped. Time's frozen. This powerful man, Joseph, who's second in command of the most powerful nation in the world, as he remembers his brothers, he remembers his father, he remembers his baby brother, Benjamin. Just think about it, if you know the story. If anyone was ever mistreated, it was Joseph. If anyone had the right to be bitter, it would be Joseph. And here he is, fixing to reconcile, fixing to love on those brothers that hated him and envied him and conspired to kill him. Here he is with the power to do what he can do to them, anything. And he's going to choose to let grace take over. The school of grace from this man by the name of Joseph, as they're going to reconcile. My former life, I traveled quite a bit. I leave on Mondays and come back on Thursdays most generally. I've been in more airports than I can count. And I watched people. I'm a people watcher when you're in airports and you're in different places. But you'd see people. You'd sit next to people. You'd understand who they're going to meet or who they're going to see or what their trip's going to, how's going to end. And I've watched people get off the flights. I've watched them go to baggage claim. I've watched them stretch their necks looking for their loved one or the party they were going to meet. And I watched them. They're looking for a special someone many times. The next thing you know, you see him hugging. You see him embracing. You see him shedding tears amongst themselves. And all that does is remind us of this on this Easter Sunday morning. That relationships, your relationships, my relationships, our relationships with the people we love, with our friends and our families, relationships are the most important thing in life. And you can go through life and we can get off track and we can get something else that simply kind of takes over. But when the end comes, at the end of the day, like in Joseph's life, he had a lot going on. He could do anything he wanted, however he wanted to do it. But the thing that mattered was relationships and reconciling that relationship. When we see that happen here in the great chapter, Genesis chapter 45. The Bible says in verse 2 that Joseph wept aloud. He goes on to talk about how he kisses his brothers, hugs his brothers, said, come to me, and they embrace, and they hug. He kisses them, and they weep together. These brothers are speechless. These brothers are scared. They're shaking in their sandals. They're afraid. But Joseph has this wonderful attitude. In the light of unfair treatment, he put that aside to love on, to reconcile, to renew the relationship that he so dearly missed. The Bible says that Joseph lives 110 years. And in all we know about Joseph, by the way, more Bible scripture is given to Joseph than any other Bible character in Scripture. And all we know about him with all that scripture is that for 110 years of his life, he never wavered. He never lost focus. There's never one sin that he wasn't perfect. He definitely sinned, but scripture never talks about any sin that Joseph committed for 110 years. And Joseph tells his brothers in the last chapter of the book of Genesis, we'll be talking about it more next week. But as they came together, they're scared to face it because of what they've done. And Joseph is wanting just to reconcile and renew and revive that relationship with a hug and kiss and forgiveness. And in Genesis 50:20, that famous verse, he says to them, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. We're going to talk about that verse next Sunday, but he said, y'all did evil against me. But I want you to know that God meant it for good. That's a guy that has all the right stuff. So this, we're talking about Joseph, but I want to say today on this Easter Sunday. Easter blessings to you. Happy Easter, everyone. And so you're probably thinking, like, how does this correlate? How does this go together? How are we talking about Joseph when we get into the Easter story? Well, I'm glad you thought that, because here we go, all right? So here we go. We're gonna correlate the story of Joseph with the story of Jesus, lots of similarities, as we simply get into the Easter part of the message. These boys come, and Joseph said, "Is my daddy living? Is our dad alive?" 22 years it's been. He wanted to know first, is daddy living? They couldn't answer, and he finally found out that, yeah, he's living. And so he says, he sends them back. They're in Egypt getting corn because of the drought, the famine. He's going back to Canaan. They're going back to Canaan with the corn so people will live and not die. And he says, "I want you to tell daddy three things. Three things I want you to go tell our daddy." Number one, he says this. Go tell daddy. He's telling his brothers, go tell daddy that Joseph is alive. Look with me in verses chapter 45. There you're there. Verses 25 and 26. Go tell daddy that Joseph is alive. In verse 25, "And they went up out of Egypt, and they came to the land of Canaan, unto Jacob their father." Verse 26, "And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. He is governor over all the land of Egypt." And Jacob, daddy Jacob, and Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. The Bible says that he heard the news. It's great news. It's good news. It's positive news. But when Jacob heard it from those boys, the Bible says that his heart fainted. Sprouting understanding, what that means is this. It means that he's shocked. He's stunned. It's almost like his heart just set still. It was like a thunderclap on a clear day. Wasn't expecting it. And all of a sudden, that loud thunder claps. It was like a moment like that when he heard the greatest news that he had ever heard. And he just couldn't accept it. His boy had been gone out of his life. The boys had told their dad that we don't know where Joseph is. Here's his coat of many colors. They had beast blood all over it, which the dad thought he had been devoured by a wild animal for 22 years. That's what he thought. And now on this day, he hears the news. "Daddy, Joseph told us to tell you that Joseph is alive." For 22 years, he's thinking, "My boy's dead." For 22 years, he thought he had been devoured by a wild beast. For 22 years, he thought, "I'll never see him again." He thought Joseph was dead. And the Bible says that when he heard the news, he fainted. He lost consciousness. He passes out. He can't think clearly. Because when we hear someone dies, we all have the same understanding. Someone dies, it's final. Someone dies, it's the end. When someone dies, their life is concluded. It's finished. It's over with. That chapter's closed. And so he just reacted like most folk would react. But look at verse 28. In verse 28, the Bible says that Israel said, and of course Israel is Jacob, he got his name changed from Jacob to Israel, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." 22 years have passed. Today is March 31st, 2024. If we went back 22 years, something happened in 2002. It'd be almost like something happened in 2000. That's that long ago. That you'd have to think that, and that's exactly where his mind is. But he said, hey, he caught up with him. He saw those wagons that that Joseph had sent to get their loved ones and little ones and take them back, and he saw that. He said, it's enough. Joseph, my son, is alive. He's alive. What great news. I mean, could there even be better news? I mean, happily ever after in the story. It can't get no better for Jacob, his family. But on this March the 31st, 2024, on this Easter Sunday morning, I've got some better news than that. I've got some greater news than Jacob heard that day, as great as it was. You see, on this Easter Sunday, I'm here to tell you that not only is Joseph alive, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is alive. Amen. The last 3 days before Easter, number one, first Easter, there was never nothing like it. For 3 days, when the holiness of God simply met the sinfulness of man on a cross called Calvary, on a tree that he made grow. In John chapter 19, Jesus cries from the cross, it is finished. Can I just tell you something about that day? It's not unusual for God to live, but it's highly unusual for God to die. Amen. Jesus died. He was buried. The darkest day recorded in all of history. The absence of God's presence in the world. The sun refused to shine. The earth began to tremble. The sky turned pitch black. And Jesus cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The source of life is Jesus. And the source of life has dimmed. The light went out. He died for your sin and my sin. He died for the sin of the world. He's alone on that cross. He's abandoned on that cross. He's isolated on that cross. He's separated from that cross. His Father turned his back on him because of our sin. God might have turned his back on his son that day. But he turned his back on his son that day so that the day would never come in your life or my life as his children where he'd turn his back on us. Jesus is alive. Oh yes, he died. Oh yes, he was buried. But by 3 days later, the Bible says he was victory over the death, over the grave, over hell. He arose from the grave. In Luke 24, two angels announced early that first Easter morning, he's not here, for he has risen. Joseph said to his brothers, hey fellas, does my father still live? You go tell him three things. You'll tell him that Joseph is alive. I want to tell you that Jesus is alive. Death has been defeated. And death is out of business for we as Christians. I had the privilege of going to Israel a few years back. One of the highlights of the trip, every day is a highlight, by the way, but the highlight of the trip is going to see the empty tomb. And I'm here to tell you, I walk in, and I can just tell you from personal experience, it's not something I read, even though I've read it. It's not something I've heard, even though I've heard it. It's not something I've sung, even though I've heard it sung. Hey, I want to tell you from physical, personal experience, I went into that tomb. And I'm here to tell you on this Easter, March the 31st, 2024, I want to tell you that I walked in and walked out, the tomb's empty. Jesus is alive. Go tell Daddy. Joseph is alive. That's good news. That's great news. And that's some wonderful news. But better than that is that Jesus is alive. The resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone of our faith. It's the foundation of our hope. It's the cardinal doctrine of Christianity. In 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ be not risen, your preaching and faith is all in vain. vain. The resurrection took place. The resurrection happened. Jesus came out of that grave victorious. He lives today. Joseph told his brothers, go tell Daddy that Joseph is alive. He said, go tell Daddy, secondly, that Joseph forgives. Joseph forgives. Look at verse 4 and 5, chapter 45. Here it goes. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near me, I pray. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold in Egypt. He's letting them know that I know what you did, and I hadn't forgot it. But look what he says in verse 5. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Joseph just said, go tell Daddy that Joseph is alive. Go tell Daddy that Joseph forgives. He forgave his brothers. He didn't hold a grudge. He forgave his brothers. He didn't hold out for revenge. He didn't hold out to get even. Joseph said, go tell Daddy. I just told you. Go take the same message to Daddy and tell him that Joseph forgives. That word forgiveness in the Hebrew is an interesting word in that language. Here's what it means to forgive. You ready? It means this. It means to let go. It means to send away. It means when you forgive, like biblical Hebrew language says here, here's what it means in Joseph's case. It means to choose not to remember. It means to no longer cling. No longer cling to the hurt of the past. We've all been hurt. We've all been mistreated. We've all been in situations that if you heard our story, you'd go like, wow, man, that's hard. Man, we've all been there. Joseph was really there. And Joseph said, go tell Daddy. Go tell him that Joseph is alive. Go tell him that Joseph forgives. Someone might be here today and they say, Brother Don, that's easier preaching than easier doing. I get it. Someone might be here today and say, Brother Don, if you just knew what I went through, if you knew what someone did to me, if you really knew how evil somebody was to me, man, he said, maybe you can forgive them, but I can't. Maybe it's easy for you and Joseph to let it go. I can't let it go. And if you're here today, I would just beg you to simply just turn it over. Hey, just turn it over. Whatever happened to us in the past, if we dwell on it, if it stews, if there's bitterness in our heart, I'm here to tell you we're the only ones suffering because the person that did it, hey, they're probably over there like it's not bothering them a bit. The only person that's really probably bothering is us or you or me. And so, hey, let it go. Be like Joseph. Be like Joseph and say, hey, don't tell Daddy that Joseph forgives. D.L. Moody said the one thing that is blocking revival, the one thing that's blocking folks from being saved, the one thing that's blocking blessings of God on Christian lives is the sin of unforgiving spirit. Joseph said, go tell Daddy that Joseph forgives. Today's Easter Sunday. I want to say, not only does Joseph forgive, but Jesus forgives. Jesus, like Joseph, falsely accused. Unlike Joseph, Jesus was beaten. Unlike Joseph, Jesus was mocked. Unlike Joseph, Jesus was spit upon. Unlike Jesus, unlike Joseph, Jesus was nailed to a cross. And from that cross, Jesus cries out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Not only did Joseph say, go tell Daddy, Joseph forgives. Scripture tells us that Jesus forgives. 2,000 years ago, as Jesus died on a cross called Calvary, as he paid a debt that he didn't owe, I'm here to tell you that he didn't pay part of the debt. He didn't pay our debt partially. He didn't put a down payment or put that debt on layaway. No, my friend, Jesus, when he died on that cross and he asked his Father to forgive them that sin against him, he paid it all. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Forgiveness was not cheap. It's not cheap. Forgiveness is not partial. It's not temporary. Hey, it's full. It's fully paid. And that's what Jesus did that day. Once Jesus forgives, the slate is clean. Once Jesus forgives, the case is closed. Hey, once Jesus forgives, the debt is canceled. Once Jesus forgives, the books are closed. It's final. Forgiveness is an action and an attitude that frees the forgiver. If we can forgive someone, we get freedom. Don't hold on to it. Don't dwell on it. Don't think about it. Let it go. Jews are not going to remember it no more. Jesus forgave. Now, the difference between Jesus being God, the difference between God and us is Jesus can forgive and he can forget. We as humans don't have that attribute. We can forgive, but we can never forget. But you don't have to dwell on it. Move on. Lighten the load. Turn it over to the Lord. Let him deal with it. Joseph said, brothers, hey, to his brother, go tell daddy two things. Go tell him, number one, Joseph is alive. That's good news. Number two, go tell him Joseph forgives him. That's good news. He said, number three, to his brothers, he said, go tell him daddy that Joseph has prepared a place for us. In chapter 45, verse 18 through 20, Scripture tells us that Pharaoh gave wagons to Joseph. He said, man, tell your brothers as they go back to see your daddy, tell them to take all these Egyptian wagons. Tell them to take these wagons back to Canaan. Now, these aren't Canaan wagons. These are Egyptian wagons, the most powerful army, the most prosperous, productive country in the whole world at the time. I mean, these were the Cadillacs of wagons. He said, take these wagons. Take them back to Canaan. Take them back to your daddy. And he said, man, I want you to load up. I want you to load up your kids, your brother, your family, their wives, their children, their grandchildren. Load them up. And I want to bring them back to Egypt. Because I'm preparing a place for them. That sounds familiar. Joseph said, go get them. Matter of fact, let's look at those verses in verse 18. Chapter 45, verse 18. Verse 17, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to thy brethren, this do ye, lay your beast and go and get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your household and come unto me. I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. Verse 19, now thou art commanded, this do ye, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Look at that next verse, verse 20. And regard not your stuff for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. What a message. Tell him Joseph's alive. Tell him Joseph forgives. And don't forget to tell him that Joseph is prepared a place for y'all to come. Leave your stuff behind. Leave all your clutter behind. Just load up your children. Load up your wives. Load up your family in the wagons provided by him, Egypt, and come back and just live off the land. Every need will be made, will be provided for. Hey, come over here to a land that will meet your needs. Now remember, we're right in the middle of the 7 years of famine. There were 7 years of plenty. There's 7 years of famine. That's what brought the brothers to Egypt. They're dying of starvation in Canaan. Jacob hears about it. He sends all those boys, go get as much as you can. Go buy the corn, bring it back. Because if you don't get corn here, we're going to die. It's a matter of life or death. And so don't forget the context. Hey, there's a famine worldwide. The crops are dead. The land is barren. The streams are dry. They have to live off of Egypt. And through that, all along comes some good news. Joseph sends wagons to load up and leave your stuff behind just come with us. Come to a land that's fruitful. Come to a land that's fertile. Come to a land that's lush and green. Regardless. The Bible says there that they sent donkeys loaded down with food, provisions, treasures of Egypt for Jacob and their families. You see, he fainted. He couldn't believe the news. But when he looked out and saw those wagons, he looked out the tent, and he saw those wagons and boys talked about, that's when he said, hey, it's enough. I'm going to go see him before I die. The first time in 22 years of this old man by the name of Jacob, who was a schemer, who was a con man in his early days, and God changed his heart, and God changed his life, and all of a sudden for 22 years, he's had a burden, my boy's gone, he was devoured by a wild animal, and on this day, for 22 years, he heard some news that put a smile on that crusty face, that simply put a smile in the corners of his mouth, and he's smiling like, man, my boy's alive, he forgives, we got these wagons, I'm going to see him before I die. Now that's just good news. That is good news. The Bible says Joseph brings 70 family members. We find that in the book of Exodus. He loads those wagons up and brings 70 family members from Canaan to Egypt on those wagons. And the Bible tells us, man, did not only they meet every need, man, not only was it a place prepared for them, but the Bible says that they multiplied. The Bible says that they prospered and they were productive. And man, in the country of Egypt, they increased abundantly. They become, it's the Bible words, but they become mighty exceedingly. That's good news. On this Easter Sunday 2024, I've got some really good news. Jesus said in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. Just leave your stuff here. You're coming there. That's what Jesus said before he died for the sins of the world. Do you know the day you got saved? There was wagons full of heavenly graces the day you got saved. The day I got saved. There was wagons that we knew nothing about. The day you got saved and I got saved. The Bible says that there's joy in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance. Heaven has a party. Heaven has a celebration when just one person repents. One person gets saved. One person is transformed. One person who is convicted by the Holy Spirit and they simply realize they're a sinner and they accept Christ. The Bible says all of a sudden these behind the scenes we don't know nothing about, behind the scenes are these wagons full with grace, perks and benefits for people who are saved. Our decision to trust Christ is not only the single greatest decision we'll ever make, but it's lasting. It's not a one-time deal. When a person gets saved, the Father gets on heaven's hotline. He calls heaven's construction company. He says, man, lay out another mansion. Change those blueprints. We just had another join our family. He no sooner hangs up the phone there, and the Father simply gets on there and he simply calls heaven's garment factory. Need to order. Need to place a special order. One custom made. One tailor made. Robe that is spotless. Robe that is wrinkle free. Robe that is pure, white, and clean. Just added another to the family that was saved into the family. Got a mansion. You got a robe waiting on you. Father gets on the hotline. Heaven's hotline. He calls heaven's deli. He said, man, he said, you need to set up another place at the table. Set up another place. Have another one just adopted into the family. I'm here to tell you the wagons of grace, heavenly wagons, that God has done on our behalf, that he's bestowed on us, that we didn't know all that when we got saved. Well, you know, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. What a place it's going to be. Heaven's going to be a place of missing things. You know what's going to be missing in heaven? Revelation says that the former things are passed away. No more storms in heaven. No more sorrows in heaven. No more sin in heaven. No more Satan in heaven. No tombs. No wheelchairs. No crutches. No canes. For the Bible says the former things are passed away. There's going to be no clocks. No locks, no docks, no glocks. The missing things. But not only is heaven going to be a place of missing things, that place that he's prepared for us, it's going to be a place of material things. Material things. He said it, mansions, golden streets. 1 Corinthians, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Material things. And boys, he told those boys, disregard your stuff. Man, we have a lot of stuff. Man, do we have stuff. We got garages and we can't put our cars in them because we just got too much stuff. We got to build on to put stuff out there because we have too much stuff. Man, heaven is going to be a prepared place for prepared people by a prepared God. He's waiting for us. And man, when you go there, there's going to be some missing things, good missing things. There's going to be some material things that, man, we can't wait to get our hands on. But then there's going to be in heaven the main thing. The main thing for Jacob was to be reunited with his son. The main thing for Jacob was to have their family, all 70 of them, together again in a land that had no, that was given to them, a land that was fruitful and fertile, and a land where they could eat and flourish and do the things that they should have done. That was good news to him, but I've got better news. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. But like Joseph, Jacob wanted to see Joseph. He wanted to see his boy. And as Christians, the main thing is not material things. The main thing is not missing things. The main thing is to see Jesus. As a matter of fact, Revelation says they shall see his face. Fanny Crosby became blind at the age of 6 weeks old, infant. She lived to be 95 years old, blind her whole life. It's been said she wrote blind 800 hymns. Miss Crosby told her mother, if I had a choice, I'd choose to remain blind. So when I die, the very first person I have ever seen with my human eyes would be the face of my Savior. That's pretty amazing. Is that the way your heart is today? But the main thing, because I'm looking forward to living in a mansion. I never lived in a mansion. I'm looking forward to that tree of life as out of that fruit. I'm looking forward to fishing in that river of life. I'm looking forward to meeting all the Bible characters, seeing all my family members. I'm looking forward to that. But we should look forward to seeing Jesus. Mm-hmm. You see, I've been saved over 50 years. And for over 50 years, I've talked about a guy I've never seen. I've preached about a guy I've never seen. I've sung about a guy I've never seen. I've prayed to a guy I've never seen. I've talked to people about someone I've never met except through faith. And that song says it best. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. Jesus is the main thing. He's the main thing of Easter. He's the main thing of our lives. He's the main thing. Jesus was virgin born. Jesus lived a virtuous life. Jesus died a vicarious death. He rose a victorious resurrection. And he will visibly return to the church. Happy Easter. Happy resurrection. We've got some good news. Jesus is alive. Jesus forgives. Jesus prepared a place for those who put their faith in. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody looking around. We'll sing an invitation in just a moment. God loves you. Jesus died for you. You're here today, you've never been saved. Today would be a wonderful day to get that fixed. Here today, you've been saved. Just where you are. Just renew your love to him right where you are. Privately, the privacy of your pew. Thank you for what he did. There's something between you and someone else. We talked about forgiveness. There's got a lot between them. Ask God to take that. Live life without burden, without bitterness. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for Easter. We pray, Father, Holy Spirit of God, you do what you can do in this invitation. You speak the hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. The room's going to lead us.
If you enter Jesus for the cleansing power, are you washing the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace? His side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you
all
my friends in the blood?
I got your name in that. Praise the
light. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
I want to thank you so much for being here today. I want to thank you for being good listeners. You blessed my heart. And I want to thank you that we were able to share that wonderful news about Easter, that Jesus is alive. I want you to have a wonderful rest of the day, a wonderful week this week, just thinking about what Jesus did for us. God bless you. If you've got an Easter lily here, if you put in here in honor or memory of someone, come and get it and enjoy it. God bless you. Let me pray us out of here. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much, Lord, for Jesus. And Lord, thank you that he died for us and that he lives today. Help us, Lord, to live for him. Father, help us to have a wonderful day today. Thank you for each and every one here today. We pray your blessings upon every single individual here today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.